Spiritual growth always begins with a healthy root system. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell continues in his series on becoming rooted and grounded in Christ.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God started something in you the day you got saved. But God said, I want you to know I'm gonna keep working on you. You can run, you can go back to the old world, you can skip church, but you can't run from God.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Rooted in Grace.
Jesus says to all who will believe, whosoever will may come. The payment that Jesus made is a once and for all payment. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The payment of grace, listen, it is an undeserved payment. It is an unreserved payment. And if you're saved today, it's because of the grace of God. It's not because you got baptized. It's not because you go to church. It's not because grandma was a Baptist or grandpa was a Baptist. If you are saved today, you are saved by the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, but God was satisfied in offering it based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. If you have never tasted the grace of God, you do not know that your sins are forgiven. You do not know that although you fall short of the glory of God, that there's a way to have access to God. Then I pray this morning that you would open your heart and by faith believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too can be saved. And you too can say, his grace is wonderful to me. The payment of grace was made by Jesus. But notice secondly, the provision of grace. The provision of grace. Someone says, Pastor, I'm saved because of the grace of God. But what about the provision of God's grace? What is it providing and what is it bringing into my life? Notice if you would in the book of Ephesians now, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at a few verses on what God's grace provides for us. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now I want you to notice in verse 5 a word, and the word is quickened. Let's say that together. Ready to begin? All right. Not quicken, but quickened. And the word quickened speaks, first of all, of spiritual life. The provision of the grace of God. When God saves us, he is giving us spiritual life. He is quickening us. He is bringing us to life spiritually speaking. Listen to me. Without Jesus Christ, you are dead. The Bible makes no sense. There's no desire for church. There's no conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's no true love or true joy. But when we receive Christ as Savior, we're quickened. We're made alive. We're interested. We want to know more about God. And so it is that spiritual life begins. And again, it begins by the grace of God. I once saw an ad for the United States Marines, and they had a sword. And in this sword, they had a little statement, a little phrase, earned, not given. Earned, not given. And that's the Marine motto. By the way, I really think, logically speaking, it just makes sense. You're going to have this sword. You're going to wear the blue uniform. You're going to have the stripes and the medals. They ought to be earned, not given. You don't take some 18-year-old punk who just yesterday was running around with his Xbox and his games and Game Boy and his droopy drawers, shave his head, put him in a uniform and make him a general the next day. Right? He's going to put a stripe or two on. He's going to earn it. It's earned. It's not given. That makes sense. Sometimes, though, we try to carry that into our thought process about religion. And we think, if I'm going to go to heaven, I got to earn this. If God's going to love me, I got to earn this. And listen now, the grace of God is in opposition to your logical thoughts that way. Because concerning the gospel, what we would say is this: given, never earned. Okay. The world says earned. World says, you want my love? Earn it. You want me to marry you? Earn it. You want a raise? Earn it. You want money? Earn it. God says, given, never earned. That is the grace of God. And he says, it's not based on what you do, it's based on what Jesus did. And I'm going to give you spiritual life, and you're not going to earn it, you're going to receive it as a wonderful grace. Now someone says, well, Pastor Chappell, how does that process happen? How does someone receive that spiritual life? Two quick thoughts. First, it is given to us and we are quickened or made alive by the very word of God. By the very word of God. Look in your notes at 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, nobody comes to life spiritually until they hear the word of God. That's why we have soul winning. That's why we have bus ministry. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we have gospel tracts back in the foyer for you to give to your friends. Because unless they hear the word of God, they can't come alive to it. No one can come alive to something they're unaware of. And if you are saved today, if you have partaken of the grace of God, it's because someone somewhere shared the gospel with you and you heard it and you seized upon it by faith. We are quickened by the word of God. Let me say secondly, we are quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when a person hears about Jesus, now then the Holy Spirit of God can work on their heart. Now the Holy Spirit of God can take that word and do something with it. In John chapter 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious leader, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And when a man hears the word and believes Christ as Savior, and he turns to Christ in his heart, at that moment he is born from the heart. He is born again spiritually. And so we are quickened or made alive by the preached word and by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God who comes into the life of every Christian. And let me tell you something. When you get saved, I mean when you taste of the grace of God, I mean when the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your life, some wonderful things begin to happen. First of all, the grace of God will empower you. God's Holy Spirit will give you power and spiritual strength. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to understand this morning, grace does not grant permission to live in the flesh. Grace gives you supply of power to live in the Spirit. I want to say it again. Grace does not give you permission to live in the flesh, but grace supplies power to live in the Spirit. Sometimes you'll come across someone and they'll say, hey, look, I can do whatever I want. I can party with my own friends. I can do whatever I want because I have grace. I want to tell you something. Grace was not given so you could live in the flesh. Grace was given so that we could have power in the Spirit. Doesn't it make sense that if you're growing in grace, you'll be more like Jesus and less like this world? Amen. Let me ask you that again. Doesn't it make sense that if you're growing in grace, you'll be more like Jesus and less like the world? And so grace provides the power for that journey. And God's Spirit empowers us. And let me say this, God's Spirit secures us. Just real quickly, when a person receives the grace of God, the Holy Spirit secures them. And I want you to see this. Turn back to Ephesians 1:13. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. Covering a lot of ground here this morning about the grace of God. But I want you to see it. Ephesians 1:12. says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Notice that no one's saved until they hear the word of God. Why do we support missionaries? Why do we run buses? So more people can hear, so they can be saved. And that's what it says in verse 13. It says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now watch this. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now get that picture in your mind. Just as an Eastern king would take a signet or a stamp and he would dip it in wax and he would place it on a document, and that was the signature of the king. It was the seal of the king, paid in full, owned by the king. God said, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sealed until the day of redemption. God's Holy Spirit puts a seal on you. No longer can the devil have you. No longer can the devil take you. No longer do you have to worry about going to hell with your life for all of eternity. Why? Now you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you have spiritual life, and nothing and no one can take that spiritual life away from you. You belong to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's done. It's settled. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have given unto him. I want you to understand, it's a commitment that will be kept until the day of my redemption. I don't know about you. I find comfort in the fact I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't have to worry. I so pity those folks involved in churches that have a doctrine that says you can be saved and then you can be lost. And then you can be saved and then you can be lost. And then if you slip, you're going to be lost and you're going to go to hell and not go to heaven. I'm just saying today, I'm glad that Jesus didn't pay it in part. He paid it in full. And so his Spirit empowers, his Spirit secures, his Spirit comforts, his Spirit guides. I'm just telling you that when you partake of the Holy Spirit, there's a provision of spiritual life. Look right here. There's no way that I can be spiritual by myself. There's no way that I can bear fruit that's truly pleasing to God by myself. But by his Spirit, I can live that way. And so the spiritual life. Then secondly, there are spiritual riches. God says, I'm going to provide spiritual riches. Look back at Ephesians 2 and verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, my friend, God says, I am going to give you a position. I am going to give you eternal spiritual riches and blessings. And the verse says in verse number 7, exceeding. I mean, beyond your imagination, I am going to invite you into my spiritual riches, presence, and forgiveness. The story is told of a little boy that lived in London, and more than anything, he wanted to see Buckingham Palace. This is before the time when they would maybe have some tours and so forth. This little guy was from the other side of the track, so to speak. Kind of a ragamuffin, they might have called him back then. But so he tried. He'd stand at the gate. He'd see those carriages go in and the royalty go in. And he just imagined what it must have been like in Buckingham Palace and how they might have lived. That little boy sometimes would try to sneak into that gate and hide behind the carriages, but the soldiers always caught him. Sometimes they just threw him outside and said, don't you ever do that again. You don't belong in here. Stay away from here. And they treated him in such a way that it hurt his heart. Still, he would gather around Buckingham Palace, and still, he would try to see as royalty would go in. One day, he was about ready to sneak in. The soldiers walked up and said, son, don't try it again. Right at that moment, a man reached down and took him by the hand. That man walked him through the gate. That man walked him to the door of Buckingham Palace, and he went in and he saw the bedrooms of the royalty, and he saw the dining rooms of royalty, and the parlors, and he saw the grounds manicured, the gardens, and he saw the room of the king. He saw it all. His heart was overwhelmed with what he saw, and he didn't really understand how he had the privilege of seeing it until he was told by someone that the man who had brought him in was none other than the Prince of Wales. I want you to understand this morning, there's no way that I ever had hope in heaven. There's no way I ever had a hope of seeing Jesus someday. There's no way I ever could have had my sins forgiven. I was that sinful little boy on the outside of the gate looking in. But one day, Jesus Christ reached down his scar-filled hands and took me by the hand. And he said, if you want grace, I've got grace. If you believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life, I can bring you in. And there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, and I have no spiritual life and no riches of my own, but I'm glad that Jesus Christ reached down and he took me in and provided eternal life for me. And you might be here this morning separated from God and wondering how you could ever make it in. And there is a way. There is a way of grace, and there is a person of grace, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank him today. And then I want you to see finally, not only the payment of grace, the blood of Christ, not only the provision of grace, spiritual life, but I want you to see finally the product of grace, the product of grace. You know, the tragedy with many Christians is that their grace lasts from 11 to 12 on Sunday. Or if you go to Lancaster Baptist, from 11 to 12, 15. In other words, it's kind of like a spiritual high on Sunday, but what about after that? How many of you believe if God's grace is so amazing, it ought to make a difference tomorrow? Right? So I want you to see the product of grace. One more verse. Can we do one more verse? All right. Ephesians 2:10. You know verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. It's not, you're not going to climb your ladder to heaven. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But now let's look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, the product of grace is twofold. It's very simple. Stay with me. First of all, the product of grace is that we are his workmanship. We are those who are being crafted by a craftsman. He is shaping us and he is making us. And we are his work in progress. Now, God is not finished with us yet. How many wives can say of their husbands, God's not finished with him yet, Pastor? And how many of us can say, I'm not where I wish I was spiritually today? I think all of us, if we're honest, could say, I'm not where I wish I was. And I think all of us could say, you know, I wish I was growing more into the likeness of Christ, but I want to commend you with this much today. If you're saved, you're at least on the playing field. You may not have hit a home run or a grand slam, but hey, you're up to bat. Listen, if you're saved, you're in Christ. You're here today in the house of God. You're his workmanship, and God is working on you today. And we are his workmanship. Now, let me tell you something. He is the potter, and we're the clay. And we would be wise to let God work on our hearts. And when we find ourselves skipping church, skipping Bible reading, saying, I don't need that preacher yelling at me. I don't need to go to church. I just think those guys are just way off. They're too involved. When we take that attitude, we're going to hinder our workmanship. Let me tell you something. The clay does not tell the potter what to do. Huh? The clay doesn't say, ooh, that hurt. Don't do that. I don't like how that feels. Clay says nothing. Clay allows the potter to have his way. We're his workmanship. God's working on us. He's trying to conform us to the image of his son, Romans 8:29. And God brings us to church, and sometimes a sermon. Look, at some of you just want me to stroke your ego, and sometimes you want to just laugh and have a good time. Sometimes we need to be shaping, though, and we need God's word to mold us and help us to be more like Jesus Christ. I've got some good news for you. If you look in your notes, it's there in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, God started something in you the day you got saved, right? That's when it all started. But God said, I want you to know I'm going to keep working on you and keep working. You can run. You can go back to the old world. You can skip church, but you can't run from God. You can't run from the Holy Spirit. He's going to keep working on you. And you'd be wise to be like clay and let him work on you. and let him develop you. Now, we are his workmanship. Now, watch this. Does God just want to create something so that we can sit here at church like a spiritual museum saying, look at us, we're his workmanship. Aren't I a fine piece of something? Is that the idea? No. We are his workmanship so that we can be, secondly, his workman. There's a difference. We're his workmanship, we're his vessel, so that we can be his workman, so that we can be used of God. The only way people that you live with are going to see the grace of God tomorrow is through you and me. Sharing the word in the Spirit, God says, you are my workmanship, but you are also my workman. So look at verse 10 once more, and we're almost done. Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for we are his, what's the next word? Come on, you got to help me. For we are his workmanship. That means we're the clay that he's molding and making. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good work. Say it again. Created in Christ Jesus unto? So God says, I want to work on you on Sunday so that I can work through you on Monday. God said, you're not just in church to kind of go through the motions. We need to get some Baptists out of the nursery today and out on the front line serving Jesus Christ. The idea is not, well, I go to church and they kind of help me. Help me with my problems. All right, we all have problems. We all need help. But God has called every one of us to serve him. We are his workmanship. Yes, Lord, help me, mold me. But we're his workers too. And he says, I want you to go to work tomorrow, living for me and witnessing for me and telling others of me. I want you to do those good works. Listen, God does not save you and put you into the church so that you can sit, soak, and sour. Right? You ever meet somebody like that? Hey, how's it going? Fine. Are you a Christian? Yes. How long have you been a Christian? All my life. The Lord's in your life? Yes. You better tell your face about it. You ever meet people like that? Look it. God didn't save us so we can just kind of exist. He says, I got a job for you. I want you to do my work. Paul said in Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given unto me. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. God says, hey, I want to work through you. Stop your complaining. Stop your gossiping. Stop your arguing. Stop your poor mouthing. I can do what you want me to do if you'll let me work through you. Yes, we're his workmanship. But we're his workmen to serve him. And I want you to understand this morning, this journey of grace, the payment of grace is the blood of Christ for our sin, the provision of grace, the riches of Christ for all of eternity. But the product of grace, if you're growing in grace, you're going to serve the Lord and exalt the Lord and lift him up in the Antelope Valley. And some are going to wave the flag of this and the flag of that. But somebody's got to stand up for Jesus, and that would be you and me. I mean, I'm going to tell you something about Christianity. There's a lot of Christians right now, perhaps some in this room, who get discouraged and they're not even planting. They're not even reading the Bible at home. They're not even praying. They're not trusting God. You almost have decided not to plant. A lot of churches not sending missionaries, not having soul winning. They've just decided they're not going to plant. This is not the year to say, I'm not going to plant. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. This is the year to plant deeper in Christ and grow deeper in the grace of Christ. And you're not going to have a harvest in September if you don't plant in June, if you don't pray in June, if you don't trust God in June. You're not going to have any fruit come September. And I just happen to believe if you decide this summer, I'm going to live for God intentionally, I'm going to be rooted in his grace, growing in his grace, God's going to bless that. God's going to do something with that. He can only work with people who are growing deep in his grace. And I pray today that we would grow in his grace.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest resource entitled Continue, A Biblical Journey in Personal Discipleship. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry.
Continue is perfect for helping someone you love become rooted and grounded in God's Word. Each lesson includes a straightforward outline with support scriptures and is written so anyone can easily teach. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.